We're gonna this is Parshat Tazria Mitzora this week, and we're gonna, for a change, actually talk about Tazria. Do you know that in some communities this isn't even called Parshat Tazria? It's called Parshat Tahara. Because they don't want to even say the word. It's kind of like, kind of like that. And Mitzora Bichlal is not called that in some communities. In any case, we refer to it as Tazria and Tazria Mitzora together. And again, as I mentioned, that the Tazria Mitzora is often an opportunity to talk about almost anything but, because A, hard to understand, and B, it's hard to find lofty in it. But we're going to do that. I will tell you very quickly this story. It's really about Tazria Mitzora that happened to me many, many years ago. I was teaching at a school where most of the students came from non-Orthodox homes. And I had a great student, an eighth grade girl, who came up to me before Pesach and said, listen, my bat mitzvah is after Pesach. Can you help me with my speech? I said, I'd be happy to. We'll sit down right after Pesach vacation and I'll be happy to help you with it. And I said, by the way, what parsha is your bat mitzvah? She says, Parsha Kedoshim. I said, oh, Kedoshim. That's a home run. That's easy. Great. So I'm looking forward to it. Over Pesach vacation, I got the invitation to her bat mitzvah, and it was for Parsha Tazria. It must have been a Shana Mubarak. So I came up to her right after Pesach and I said, I'm happy to help you with your speech, but I think it's a mistake because the calendar date is for Parsha Tazria. She goes, oh, yes, my rabbi said Tazria is not a very nice parsha for girls, so we're going to do Kedoshim instead. So we don't subscribe to that theory of convenience with reading, and we're going to tackle Tazria head on. And we're going to look at something which, again, well, I'll let it speak for itself. Parshat Tazria is actually not misnamed, but it's misconstrued, because when you think Tazria, everybody thinks Tzarat. And Tazria and Mitzorah sound alike, so we think Tzarat. But the first eight psukim of Parshat Tazria have nothing to do with Tzarat. They have to do with childbirth. And then the huge Perek Yud Gimel, is all about Tzarat, and that takes over. And so if you take a look at, we'll just take a look at these few psukim. This is how it starts. Tavel Isha ki Tazria, if a woman becomes fertile, shall we say, V'yaladah zachar, she has a boy. V'tama'a shivat yamim, she becomes tamei'a for 7 days. Ki mei nidat dvota titma. So we haven't yet encountered nidah. We're going to encounter nidah in a couple prakim from here. But the Torah assumes that we know about it and says that she becomes tamei'a just like her days of nidah, which is 7 days. Right, that's easy. U'vayom hashmini imo basar olato. Right, the seventh, eighth day, and this is the one mentioned after Bereishit of Brit Milah, meaning as an obligation. Milah is mentioned in other places, but as an obligation, it's mentioned here. And this is the source, by the way, for Yimol, Afilu B'Shabbat, etc. For the next 33 days, she sits B'dmei Tahara, which means pure blood, which is halachically translated to mean that any dam that she has is considered to be dam tahor, or dam tohar, as the technical term goes, which means it doesn't impact on her at all. However, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, she can't have any contact with the kodesh, meaning with kodshim. V'al mikdash lo tavo, she can't come to the mikdash. Those two almost always go hand in hand. Sorry for the pun. Ad malo'ot yimei tohara, until the conclusion of these days of Tahara. And we're going to find out later what she has to do when these days conclude, because it's not enough for the days to conclude. She has to do something. And this is the first time that we hear about somebody who, at the conclusion of a period of Tumah, has to do something. We're going to then hear about this in the context of a Mitzorah, and then and later on in the context of a Zav and a Zavah. And this is where it starts. Ve'im nekevah teled, v'tam'ash shvuayim kinidata. Which means, if she has a female, a daughter instead of a son, she becomes tmeah for 2 weeks, shvuayim, kinidata, which means 2 weeks of nida, as it were. Now, I'm translating it very sloppily right now, because as you can see from the fact I highlighted it, that's going to be the, sorry for the pun, that's going to be the pregnant phrase that we're going to deal with. V'shishim yom v'sheshet yamim teshev al dmei tahara. And now for 66 days, she has dmei tahara. And then the next three psukim tell us what she does when she concludes, and that's the korban, which, of course, she can bring two birds if she can't afford the lamb, etc. Okay, that's tazria. That's yoledet. Now, there's only one word in this entire piece which is problematic, and that is the word shvuayim. Look at the word shvuayim and tell me how it's spelled. You can see it here without nikudot. How is the word shvuayim? Put a nice font that looks like safrut. How does shvuayim spell?
Shivim.
Right. It looks like shivim, which would mean how long is she tmeah?
70.
70 days, right? So that's certainly a possibility, but that's not what the halacha is, which leads to the following conversation. In the Sifra, in the Torat Kohanim, we read the following. It's only when she actually gives birth. Now notice how the written text of the Sifra, the printed text, has the word shvuayim. Right? It has a vav and an extra yod in there. Shnei shavuot. What's that mean? Shehem arba asar yom. 2 weeks, which is 14 days. Now, I got to ask you a question.
For us here, that's the day of the Omer.
What?
For us, it's the Omer already.
Yeah, yeah. For us, last night was 15. So, is this not so unbelievably obvious that there's no need to say it? Do we all not know what Shvuayim means? Shvuayim is 2 weeks. And what's 2 weeks? 14 days. And yet the Sifra spells out Shnei Shavuot, in case you didn't know it was 2 weeks. And by the way, in case you can't count, that's 14 days. It's a very strange statement, but here it gets stranger. Sha'alu Talmidav et Rabbi Yehuda ben Ro'etz or ben Da'atz, there's various versions of how his name is spelled. By the way, Rabbi Yehuda ben Ro'etz is somebody who we never heard of before, we'll never hear of again. This is the only place in all of Talmudic literature and it shows up, this conversation. It will be quoted elsewhere. We're going to see that other quote because it's a little different. V'shomim anachnu, v'shomim anu, v'tam'a, and I'm not going to pronounce the word. Shin bet ayin yod mem. So the students say to him, shomim anu, we hear tam'ash, that word. Yachol tehe tme'a. And now I don't know what that word is. Shivim, shvuayim, shvuim, I don't know. But they are suggesting something different than the halakha being 2 weeks. Now, based on what are they suggesting this? Based on the fact that if you look in the Torah, the word is spelled chaser, shin bet ayin yod mem, which means it could be read several different ways. And what they seem to be asking is, how come we're reading it Shvuayim? Why aren't we reading it a different way? Now, what's that different way? We don't know yet. I'm going to now read this again the way that it was meant to be read by people reading the printed version of the Sifra, which is Shomim Anu V'Tama, that's what Jason said, Tama Shivim. Yachol Tehei Tmeah Shivim. Maybe she's Tmeah for 70 days. Not 14, but 70. So Amar Lahem, what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Ro'etz say back? Timei v'tiher b'zachar, timei v'tiher b'nekeva. He says, if you look at the system that the Torah instituted here, it created a parallel between the male being born and the tumah v'tahara that follows, and the female being born. Because after all, it's clear that after the male is born, she has 33 days of Dam Tohar. And after the female is born, she has 66 days of Dam Tohar. So he says as follows. Ma yimei toharata kiflayim bezachar. Just like her days of Tohar are doubled for when she has a girl, as opposed to when she had a boy. Af yimei tumata kiflayim bezachar. Similarly, her days of Tumah should be doubled. All right? Now, that's the first thing he said, which means I'm proving that our reading of the word shvuayim is an accurate reading of the Torah based on the rest of the context in the system, the structure. Me'achar sheniftaru. Now the students walked out. They left. They didn't storm out. They left. Yatzal mechazer achareim. Rabbi Yudaman writes, ran after them and said, "Ben lo ayit tzarich lizakek lachem," which literally means I didn't even need to respond to you. We're going to see a different version of this in the Babli. And he says, "Mnei sheyesh em la mikra." Now, what does that mean? Yesh em la mikra. So for right now, we're going to read it as meaning that the correct way to understand a pasuk is the way that we read it with the nekudot that aren't there in the Sefer Torah, but we have a tradition of how to read it. And the way we read it is shvuayim. And since we read shvuayim, therefore it means 2 weeks, right? Which means I didn't need to give you my structural analysis and the parallel between male and female to prove it's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks because the Torah says shvuayim. How do I not say shvuayim? Because we read shvuayim, even though the word is written at, in a way that could be read shivim. Elazu tshuva l'davar. But now watch what happens. Timei v'tiher b'zachar, timei v'tiher b'nekeva. And now, we're going to say as follows. We have tumah v'tahara if it's a boy, tumah v'tahara if it's a girl. Ma yimei Torah ataki flying bezachar. If you made tumah ataki flying bezachar, which is what I just argued, that since 66 is 2 times 33, therefore shvuayim must be double of shiva. Okay. And then watch this. Oklach l'derech zu. Maybe there's a different way to analyze it, meaning look at the same box from a different perspective. Zachar she yimei Torah to me'utim. Think about this. A zachar has only 7 days of Tumah. Yimei Tumah Tumuatim. Nekeva, Zachar, Shimei
Torah.
He has only 33 days of Tahara. So Yimei Tumah Tumuatim. And the way he's looking at it is sort of like the 33 days are enough to overpower the seven. Right? Now, Nekeva, Shimei Torah Tumuatim, and Nekeva has 66 days of Tahara. And Odin Shiye Yumatu Matom Utim? In other words, 33 days are enough to roll over seven. 66 should be able to steamroll even a smaller amount. And therefore he's saying maybe when you give birth to a girl, it should be less than seven. Now you can never go less than seven because we're building a Kal Vachomer. And what's the rule of Kal Vachomer? Dayol Abamin Adin Liot Kenidon. You can never make the chamur be more than the kal. It can only be as much as the kal. Or the kal can never be less than the chamur. It can only be as little as the chamur. Either direction you want to go. It says, therefore, the girl should also be 7 days. And it brings us back to the beginning, which is, Balacha stated that shvuayim means 2 weeks, which is 14 days. Now you understand. This bright is very strange, but it will get even stranger as we turn the page. What you have here is the finest Ktav Yad of the Sifra. It is Vatican number 66. If you're interested, you can see it online. I got it online, copied it for to here. And this was written in Bavel in the 10th century. And it is broadly considered to be the most accurate and finest Ktav Yad of the Sifra. One interesting phenomenon here is that this text is vocalized. There's nekudot. Now you look at the nekudot, and just as an aside, but it's going to be important for us, is the nekudot are on top of the letters. You see them?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we call nekud bavli. Remember, there were two schools of Masoretes in the 6th to 9th centuries. There were the Tiverian, Tavrani Masoretes, and the Babylonian Masoretes. And they're the ones who developed Nikudot. They developed these signs that we use for vowels. The Tavrani custom, which is what we adopted, or the approach, was to put the vowels under the letters. Babli was to put it on top of the letters. All right? So now, we take a look at our passage. here we go. Shteshivot Shem Arba'as Hayom. Shalu atalmidim et Rabbi Yehuda ben Ra'atz. Oh, shomim anu vitama. Now look at that word. You see the word that I'm pointing to? The arrow's pointing to? Using the nikudot, it's pretty clear that it reads shvuayim, which means, hey, why don't we read shvuayim? Which is a pretty weird thing to say, considering we do read shvuayim, and shvuayim means 2 weeks. So what are they offering as an alternative that he has to respond to? And then they say, yachol tehei tmeah shvuayim kenidata, which is very weird, because they're saying, oh, I might think that that she's tmeah for shvuayim, just like nida. But what do you mean? That's exactly what she is. And then he responds, Amar Laham, and he responds the way he responds. There's a system, twice as much of tahara, there must be twice as much tuma. It must be that she's tmeah for 2 weeks. But they just said 2 weeks. It's all very confusing. And then yatsa hamachzir acharehem. So it sounds like yatsa hamachzir acharehem. It sounds like he sent somebody out to get them. Amar lem lo ayiti tzarich lizakek lachem. I didn't need to respond to you. Mimnei sheyesh om lamikra. Or aim la mikra. What does he mean by that? He means you have to read the text the way that it's traditionally read, which is exactly what they're proposing, shvuayim. The conversation sounds very strange. It's like me saying to you, I'm going to propose that the sun rises in the east. You can't say that. The sun rises in the east. Aha, but I'll prove to you the sun rises in the east. Sounds like a strange conversation. Ella zu tshuva la davar. Timei v'tiher b'zachar, timei v'tiher b'nekeva, ma'imei torah tikflaim b'zachar, and that's exactly the way that we saw the rest of the Braita. Very strange back and forth. What's going on? So I want to show you where this piece shows up in the Bavli, and it shows up in the Bavli in the context of a group of passages. We're not going to go through all the passages. You have them here in the when the Torah commands us to sit in Sukkot, it says Sukkot three times. Look how Sukkot is written. You see how it's written? This is how the traditional text of the Torah reads. Bas Sukkot without a Vav, Bas Sukkot without a Vav, Bas Sukkot with a Vav. Totafot, in our traditional text. Totafot with a first Vav, Totafot no Vavs, Totafot with the first Vav, none of them have the second Vav at the last syllable, right? And where's this all coming from? So we're going to cut straight to the Sugya and Sanhedrin, because we're going to then roll that back to the Sifra, and you see something wild. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, who liked to do this, he liked to identify different Tanaim who had a common position on some theoretical or conceptual point. Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, there he shows up again, is the only other time. Ubeit Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, all of them, Kulu Sviro Lahu, Yesh Eim Lamikra. They all agree, Yesh Eim Lamikra, which means, how do you interpret a pasuk? You interpret a pasuk based on the way that we traditionally read it, and not based on the orthography and the various ways it could be read. Right? Rebbe is the earlier discussion. It's in Sanhedrin because it's talking about the size of a Beit Din based on Yarshiun without a Vav. Yehuda ben Roetz. And now they quote our piece, but watch how different it is. Detanya. Shalu Talmidim et Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz. Ekra ani shivim. 70. Yacholte yoledet nekevat mea shivim. And Rashi here says explicitly, right? It doesn't say shvuayim with a vav and an extra yod. So therefore, I have every reason to read it as shivim 70. She beats me out for 70 days. And then what was his answer? His answer was the structure, double, etc. And then yatsa umachzir achareim. He ran out after them. Now this is very different because in the Sifra, what he says to them is, I didn't even need to respond to you. You guys were wrongheaded for asking. Here he says, I made a mistake. Let me correct it. An iatem skukim lachach, which is different. Says, you don't really need that as an answer. Shvuayim karinan, meaning, how do we read the word? Shvuayim, v'yesh'em la'mikra. So in the context here of Sanhedrin, it's very clear that what is meant is the students suggested maybe she's tmeah for 70 days. Now, by the way, they weren't suggesting this as a halachic point. They weren't trying to change the halacha to have tumat yoledet for a nekeva be 70 days. They were just saying, why isn't it 70 days? After all, the Torah says shin bet ayin yod mem. And he turns around and says, if you did that, you would mess up the entire structure of double. Because if the tahara is double of the tumah, 33 is 63, sorry, if the tahara is double from female to male, 66 to 33, then the tumah should also be double, 14 to 7. All right, and not 70. And by the way, that's the end of that contribution to the sugya. They then go on to Beit Shammai and talk about how many corners of the Mizbeach, the Diavad, the Chatat has to have Daman. Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh Eim LaMikra, and therefore he says you need three full walls in the Sukkah and a fourth partial because he reads Sukkot, Sukkot, Sukkot. And therefore you have how many walls? Six, all three plurals. And then it's a complex piece that you have to look at here and in Sukkah, right? And then we take a look at a fascinating piece, which Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, "Minayin l'revitam sheyatzam mishnei mitim shemetame ba'ohel." Those of you who have been studying Daf Yomi recently encountered this in Nazir. How do you know that if you have two people who died and they had a little bit of dam come out, and together it's revit dam. How do we know that it's matame be'oel? Shenemar, I'll call nafshot meit lo yavo. Look at the word nafshot. It's spelled without a vav, which means you could read it nafshat meit. But we read nafshot, and therefore Rabbi Kiva says that's how you interpret it, nafshot, based on the proper traditional reading, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't they disagree on the traditional reading too?
No, they agree on the traditional reading. Everybody knows in Rabbi Kiva's shul, Rabbanan's shul, the guy has to read Al Kol Nafshot Meit Lo Yavo. But the Rabbanan say, look, Nifashat Ktiv. In other words, the way the Torah is written allows us to interpret it differently.
But not read it differently.
What?
That's the Ktiv Kri, what you have in the
it's
side
not
of the...
Ktiv Kri, it's not Ktiv Kri. Ktiv Kri means that it's written one way and we read it differently than it's written. Here we're talking about words that are written with insufficient vowels and therefore can be read several ways. There's a traditional way to read it, which is nafshot, but with the letters there, it could be nafshat.
But how do we know they agreed on the traditional reading?
Because otherwise the disagreement wouldn't be about whether yesh em lamikra. Their disagreement would be about what's the word.
Oh, that's so bizarre. Okay.
I told you today is bizarre. Now,
I mean, it's bizarre that they agreed on the reading, but not on the writing.
They agreed on the writing.
I'm thinking in terms of what the words could be, but they
have the same Sefer Torah, same letters. And yeah. They agreed on how it should be publicly read. The
right.
Question is, can I interpret the Torah based on a different way to read it? Which
right.
We're going to see what that's called in a minute. So now, watch this. A wild example, wild because it's something we're very familiar with. Is there anybody in the world who thinks differently than Yeshem Lamikra? Is there anybody who thinks we can interpret the Torah differently than the traditional way of reading it? Vatanya. Lo tavashel gadi be chalev imo, which means you can't see the kid in its mother's what? Milk. Yachol bechelev, I might think that all the Torah is prohibiting here is cooking meat in fat. Because chalav and chelev are spelled the same way, and it's just a question of vowels. And by the way, here you don't have any other letters you can put in. You can't put a vav or a yod in here. Chalav and chelev are spelled chet lama bet. Amarta, yesh em lamikra. The answer is, of course, yesh em lamikra. And how do we know that you're not allowed to have milk and meat and that the issue is not meat and fat? Because we read, lo tvashal gdi b'chalev imo and not b'chalav imo. Not Bechelev Imo, sorry. So in other words, we're saying everybody agrees with the Yesha'im LaMikra. And now for the doozy at the end of the Yesha'im LaMikra, and we're going to circle back to the Sifra because we're going to see something wild. Udekuliyama Yesha'im LaMikra, does everybody agree with this principle? Vatanya, get ready for this. L'totafot, l'totafot, l'totafot. And by the way, do you see the orthography there? L'totafot, l'totafot. The first two are written without any extra letters, right? The third one is written with two vavs. You see it? Hare kan arba. How do we get arba? Because l'totafot could be read l'totafet. And l'totafot could be read l'totafet, which is singular, singular. One, one. And then l'totafot, that's plural. One, one, and two is hare kan arba. The Rebbe Yishmael. Rebbe Yishmael says, how do I know that my tefillin shel rosh have to have four sections? Because l'totafot, l'totafot, l'totafot. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need that. Now, by the way, what's Rabbi Yishmael here doing? Not reading Yesh'im LaMikra. He's saying, I'm looking at the way the letters are spelled, and I can interpret it based on that against the way that we read it. Nobody in the world reads this world as word as little tefet in Dvarim Vav, Dvarim Yud Aleph, or in Shmot Yud Gimel. We always read little tefot. And yet, it could be read little tefet, and therefore I'm going to interpret it as singular and not plural. And Rabbi Kiva comes with this famous thing, the tat in one language is two, and pat in a related language is two, ancient Egyptian, right? Or katfi is right, and together that comes four. Right, said, oh, so the answer is that's when the letters would be different. Everybody agrees that when the same exact letters, and there's no missing letters, there's no helpful vowels that aren't there, that we always follow the Yesh'im LaMikra, and therefore lo tvashel gidi b'chalev imo. But and there's other examples of that. Lirot and Leraot. It's a fascinating sugya which we may pick up again in 2 weeks when we talk about Mimocharat Shabbat, perhaps. But in any case, just as a side note, which is wild, is you see the Totafot here. Look what Tosfot here says. Tosfot says, our Gemara says the Totafot. The last one has a vav, two vavs. He says Lo tivav ben pei latav mekulu. He says none of them have a vav here. Right, meaning our Sifrei Torah aren't written the way the Gemara records it. And by the way, Tosfot says our Sifrei Torah look like this, and our Sifrei Torah don't look like that either. Which means there is changing orthography in the text of L'Totafot between the times of the Gemara and what Tosfot had available and what we have. But that's a piece for another session. I want to take us back to the Sifra and point out the Sifra was quoted here in the context of this discussion, where it's clear the students were lobbying for a 70-day tum'ah, shivim. And Rabbi Yehuda Ra'at said that would mess up the system. And then he said, Yesha'im LaMikra, which means our tradition is to read it shvuayim. And shvuayim means 2 weeks, finished, end of report. However, in the Sifra, that won't work. That won't work because it's clear in the Sifra that look at that. Yacholte tmea shvuayim. Remember, in the version of the Sifra, which is the original, the students are asking, wait a second, why is she tmea for 2 weeks? She should be tmea for 2 weeks. We noticed that, how bizarre that was. So Professor Shlomo Na'er wrote two articles on this topic 30 years ago. In which he made a bold proposal, which I'll share with you in 2 weeks, because it has to do with Mochara Shabbat. Professor David Henschke, who I mentioned in the header here, had a different approach, which I'll share with you. He said as follows: the word shvuayim, shin bet ayin yod mem, or with a vav or without a vav, or with two yods or without, doesn't matter. How many times does it show up in Tanakh? Shvuayim. The answer is the only place it shows up in Tanakh.
Right.
Right. Now, what does it mean? What does the word mean? And if you think about it, there's something a little bit strange about the text. Let's look back at the text. What happens if she has a boy? Tama shivat yamim. Shivat yamim. What happens if she has a girl? Tama shvuayim. What should it say? If you want these to be parallel, what should it say?
14 days.
Arba sayom. Or here it should say shavua. Instead of shivat yamim. It's very unclear how this shvuayim doesn't seem to fit. The second problem is shvuayim kinidata. If you think about it, that's an oxymoron. How long is nida?
7 days.
Right. So how do you have shvuayim kinidata? So here's what Professor Enschke suggested in the Sifra. He says, Yachol te tmei'a shvuayim, and what they mean is, maybe the word shvuayim is just some fancy way of saying a week. After all, I have no other example of the word shvuayim anywhere in Tanakh to tell me it means 2 weeks. So maybe that's what it means. And after all, ken nidata. How long is nida? 7 days. So now, let's go back. Shalu talmidei atalmidim et Rabbi Yehuda ben Ratz. O shomim anu v'tama shvuayim, right, which means that's what the pasuk says. We're reading it the way you read it. No problem. Yahakolte tmeya shvuayim kinidata, meaning what that may mean is that she's tmeya for a week like nida. So what was his answer? His answer was the system. The system is that there's twice as much tahara for the girl, therefore there must be twice as much tumah for the girl. Okay. And then he said, I didn't even need to respond to that because yesh em la mikra. What did he mean here? He didn't mean what it means later in the Bavli, which is that when we're looking at the Torah, we have to interpret it based on the traditional way of reading it. The word aim here means, just like it means in the Bavli, it means a shore, a root, an anchor. There's an anchor for this mikra, meaning even though the word shvuayim does not show up anywhere else in Tanakh, the suffix of pairs shows up all over Tanakh. Oznaim, lahem velo yishmao. Einaim, lahem velo yiru. Raglaim, velo yalechu. Yadayim, right?
Machanayim.
Machanayim. We have lots of that example. It says, yesh em lamikra, or in this text, actually, yesh om lamikra, means that there if you look textually, if you look, shall we say, philologically at that ending, you will find that there are other examples of it, and they do mean double. So shvuayim does mean double. Now, you see that this is true because what happens at the end of the Sifra, which is not quoted in the Bavli, they say, you have double tahara, so there must be double tumah, or you can go in another direction, which is, if the 66, the 33 days were enough to knock out 7, 66 should certainly knock out 7. Meaning, what was on the table, they were suggesting, not the practical halacha, what were they suggesting? That the tumah should be 7 days for a girl also. And the arguments went back and forth. What was the final the knocker for it? Was yesh em lamikra, which means that there is a source for reading shvuayim, not because of the word shvuayim, but because of other ways that word that suffix shows up as a pair, and indeed it was 2 weeks. A long, convoluted way. What I want to show you is that this concept of yesh em lamikra does not show up anywhere else in Talmudic literature except here, and here it doesn't mean what it means elsewhere. What it ends up meaning in the Bavli, and a long list of cases, is when we read a pasuk in the Torah, and this is, by the way, not, doesn't show up anywhere in the Yerushalmi. It seems to be a totally Babylonian development. That when you look at a pasuk in the Torah, do you have the ability to interpret the words based on the letters that are there, even if they're vocalized differently? Or are you limited to reading it only in the way that it's traditionally read? And that's Yesh Eim LaMikra, and its opposite number, which is Yesh Eim LaMasoret. And has impacts on the Korban Chatat, and has issue impact on how many walls in your Sukkah, and it has impact on how we know there's four things, four Batim of Tefillin, right? And how many people on a Beit Din, all sorts of implications of how we read it. So an interesting little foray into Midrash Halacha in honor of Parshat Tezria, with really some far-reaching consequences, which we'll touch on again in 2 weeks when we talk about Macharan HaShabbat. But also part of this is a question of how open are we, how open are the gates of interpretation when you have a fixed text in front of you, but the fixed text does not have vowels, and how liberal a read is allowed within halakha of that word in the Torah. And so that's something to ponder.
So yes, one thing. So when you show the totafot with the vav and the other words that have the vav and don't have the vav, is that connected to the Eim LaMikra? That's a different thing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what he's saying, is because if you say Yesh Eim LaMikra, well, he's saying Yesh Eim LaMasoret, which means that you can interpret the words based on the letters that are there, even if it's different than it's read, which means Rabbi Yishmael saying, even though I read the words, Latotafot, 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 since they could be read, Latotefet 1, Latotefet 1, Latotafot 2, that gives me 4. So I have the room, I have the
poetic license.
The
poetic license, but legally.
I mean, it's not poetic license, but I have the license. Midrashic license. I'm poetic.
Yeah.
I have the Midrashic license to interpret the words of the Torah based on a reading of them, which is a legitimate reading, but is not the traditional reading. Legitimate meaning because I'm not substituting letters at all. And based on that, to arrive at halacha. Now, in this case, Rabbi Shmuel is just saying, here's a source for something we already know, which is for Batim and the Tefillin. Nobody disagrees about that. But above, we have Machloket, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbanan about how many walls you need in a sukkah. And that, in this sugya, is anchored in how liberally we're willing to look at the word Sukkot in the Torah, where Rabbi Shimon says, it's red Sukkot, Sukkot, Sukkot. I don't care if the Vav or not. And therefore, that's 2, 2, 2, that's 6. And then how we get down to 3, you'll see. And Rabbanan say, no, Yeshem Lamasoret, which means Sukkot, Sukkot, Sukkot. That's 4. And then minus...
But they don't explain why there's a vav and not a vav. That's a different topic. I mean, why there would be a vav sometimes.
Right, exactly. They're not concerned with that. They're concerned with the fact that in reality, that's what's there. So can I...
But that's not part of that. That's not part of Eim LaMikra, this vav or lack of vav.
Eim LaMikra is saying, once I have this reality,
yeah,
what room...
Right, you can play with it.
What flexibility do I have, if you will, in interpreting it, based on that unusual spelling.
And in the original document from the 10th century, why is that Aleph off on Mikra written above?
That's very likely
thought it meant Makor as opposed to Mikra.
No, it does thing. Not mean that, but there's something else going on. Is that this word, Mikra, actually, and this is the reason for it, actually, if you look very carefully, you can see that originally what he wrote was Yesh Eim LaDavar. And he erased the word davar, and instead he wrote mikra, but there wasn't room for an extra letter.
That's
so
funny.
The resh is left over. The kuf, you could see, is...
Yeah, I understand.
Right? And then the aleph had to be added in. But that's a whole piece by itself, because it has a lot to do with Naya's article, which we'll talk about then. So cool. In the meantime, everybody should have a... And Yerush Hashem, next week, we'll study together. It'll be Yom Ha'atzma'ut. And you guys will be hopefully post-Mongol, and we'll be pre-Mongol here. Okay.